We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit elkhorncomputer.com, then give us a call. elkhorncomputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
This is the Best of Game Time podcast. Highlights of today's 1620 The Zone's Game Time in bite-sized pieces. Hear Nick's entire past show on 1620thezone.com's Game Time podcast page and live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 1620 The Zone, the 1620 The Zone app, and 1620thezone.com.
Hey guys, thanks for downloading the Best of podcast. On today's episode, dive into the phrase of the day, and that's buy-in. And we heard it a bunch in the press conference, my take on that situation. Also, projecting the rest of the season with or without Adrian Martinez. And I got an email asking me how much I think Riley and the past regime have impacted the first two games of the year. Plus, good conversation with Mitch Light, Athlon Sports. Enjoy the podcast. Right now, I think when you think about Nebraska fans, a lot of Nebraska fans do need to just go, deep breath, exhale. But you know what would make it a lot easier to go? Is if you understood and had any idea on what Martinez's status was, not only for this weekend, but for the rest of the year. It is amazing how much different I feel about the current situation, the game this weekend, the rest of the season, if Martinez is playing or if he's not. Like, it's literally night and day, outhouse, penthouse, filet mignon, hamburger, helper, night and day. If Martinez is back and healthy and good to go, I still feel okay about this year. I really do. You guys can roll your eyes at that and laugh at that. I do. If Martinez is back and he's okay, I still feel okay about this year. Think about it now. Again, the defense is massively improved. Way better. They've been 100% good enough to win both games. I mean, game one, 7 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, held Colorado to 44 yards rushing. Game number two, keep in mind now, the defense only gave up 17 points. They held Troy to under 300 yards of total offense, which in 2018 is really hard to do. I feel pretty confident about that side of the ball. And with Martinez in there for game number one against Colorado, the offense looked way different, was way more productive. The offense had 565 yards of total offense against Colorado. And Martinez himself had over 300 yards of offense by himself. Now, you've had kind of a tale of two games with regards to the offensive line, and I think clearly the offensive line isn't probably the offensive line we saw against Colorado, where, you know, rushing for 300 plus and mauling people, and is, I don't think that's going to be a common occurrence. But you know, sometimes we think football's the ultimate team sport, and it is. But quarterback is the one position that can change everything. One player at that quarterback spot, especially depending on the offense and the system and the scheme, can change the complexion of everything. With Andrew Bunch out there, there's zero threat of him running the football, changes the whole offense. There isn't really a threat of him throwing the ball vertically down the field, obviously changes any offense. And that running component is huge. Listen, that's one of the reasons throughout the whole quarterback battle throughout the offseason, Jebbia, Martinez. It's one of the reasons I said Martinez needed to be the guy over Jebbia. That ability to run, the threat of running, changes this entire offense. Martinez being out there puts fear into the defense. I mean, you tell me, with Jebbia out there, And again, it's just one guy. With Jebby out there, with Bunch out there, what are you really afraid of? I mean, with Martinez out there, you now have to worry about zone reads, quarterback keeping it, RPOs, quarterback running, the option, which we saw a handful of times against Colorado, didn't see it one time against Troy. Quarterback draws, which is a pet play, I think, for Martinez. Never saw it with Bunch. And then lastly, the improvisation scramble yards running the football. Pocket breaks down, seam hit, 7 yards, boom. Think about all that changes with Martinez being out there. That's like five things that is listed that become problematic and become a headache for a defensive coordinator and for a defense. And all those things disappeared last Saturday. Gone. Option, no. Running, no. Zone read, no. Is he going to scramble? No. Quarterback drop, no. None of that was going to happen. Martinez capable doing all those things and racking up north of 100 yards rushing and lighting up the scoreboard. So for me, right now, whether or not I'm going to go in the moment kind of hinges on Martinez. If Martinez is healthy and back and capable of running and playing how he plays, then I still think Nebraska can win 6 games and upset a top dog in the schedule. I sincerely believe that. Sincerely believe that. But the other side of the coin is kind of a dark one. If Martinez is out for a while, and you see Andrew Bunch for the majority of the rest of the slate, the rest of the season, boy, based on what I saw from Bunch and how he was used and the plays that were called, then I'm not going to lie to you guys, this season can end up being worse than last year's from a final record standpoint. That's the harsh reality in my eyes. So, sure, Nebraska's offensive line play needs to improve. Sure, Nebraska needs to tighten up the penalties and the turnovers and the special teams. All those things are 100% true. But I tell you what, a really dynamic playmaker at quarterback makes up for a lot. And if Nebraska has Martinez, I still fully believe that this season can be full of encouraging, great moments. But if Martinez isn't out there, boy, you better buckle up for a bumpy ride based on what I saw on Saturday. I mean, you are without Martinez out there, the amount of things that are just eliminated from the offensive playbook at this point is pretty substantial. Didn't see any option. There was no real threat of you know, an RPOs and zone reads of him catching or him taking it and running. Didn't want any quarterback draws. There wasn't any sign that he was going to be able to get out of the pocket and improvise and hurt you. And all those things are like top priorities. Top priorities to worry about when you deal with Martinez. It just changes everything. And so not only when you have that dynamic playmaker there with Martinez, first of all, it affords you a longer leash of mistakes. Like, he can cover up for a lot of things. Then the other thing too is that a quarterback that can run changes things a little bit for your offensive line. You know, as Damon said, and I always try to stay in my lane with certain things. And so I defer to Damon with a lot of different things when it comes to this football team. But Damon talks about it all the time. When you're running that, you know, some zone read stuff and there isn't any threat of that quarterback run game, you better be damn good up front. And the reality of the situation is Nebraska's probably not quite there up front right now. But that threat of the quarterback keeping it changes everything. It changes everything, man. And so, naturally, do a lot of people need to, yeah, no doubt. But I know for me, a lot of the deep exhale depends on Martinez, man. Absolutely depends on Martinez. I got an email here from Aaron. It says, Nick, what do you think about Sipple's article and how much the 0-2 start has to do with Riley? So I got into this a little, but not in depth yesterday. And here's my take on this whole thing. I think these conversations are nuanced and aren't black and white. Like, for instance, if it were black and white, like, it's hard to sit and go through a game and say, that play was because of Riley, that play was because of Frost, that play was because of Riley, that play was because of Frost, that play was because of Frost. Like, that's hard. It is. And it's silly. And the one thing I think people need to remember here is the whole blaming and referencing back to the old staff isn't a new thing. I mean, remember there was a narrative going on in year one of Mike Riley that this team was struggling because of Bo Pelini and the toxic culture he had created. That was a real talking point. People wanted to blame Bo for the start of the 2015 year. Now, not everyone wanted to do that, but some did. Oh, he's got a spell over those guys that they can't do this. Just like right now, not everyone wants to blame Riley, but some do. And here is the tough part of that conversation. Like, from a broad sense, I don't think you just show up to a losing culture that went 4-8 and quit, didn't have to lift weights, and just flip a switch and all is well, all is cured. That doesn't happen. Nebraska was a disaster last year and over the last few years. Something that is that deep-rooted and that problematic, like, that doesn't get changed overnight. Now, you can improve it, but it doesn't just go away and get and just boom, done. So from a broad sense, that's how I see it. But the problem is when you get into the nitty-gritty of specifics of that discussion. Like, the problem is through two games, I haven't really seen anything that I can totally peg. Like, I can peg on that as to why Nebraska lost, if that makes sense. Like, I can't, through two games, I can't be like, well, that's because of Riley, tell you that much. Like, if that makes sense. For instance, like, why did Nebraska lose to Colorado? I think Nebraska lost to Colorado because the two turnovers out of the gates, getting down 14, the dropped passes by Nebraska's two stud wide receivers, Spielman and Morgan. Morgan would have been a touchdown. And then I personally believe the fourth quarter was mismanaged by Scott Frost. So to me, that's why Nebraska lost to Colorado. So I don't necessarily see anything within that I can link to the past. In fact, we all came on Monday, and I know I did it, and I know a lot of you did too. We applauded and raved about, man, this team, boy, last year they would have quit, right? Like, they got down 14, everybody's like, man, they showed that it's not going to be like last year. They got punched in the mouth, and they punched right back. Okay, well then, what about the Troy game? Why did Nebraska lose to Troy? Well, sloppy performance, 10 penalties, 3 turnovers, special teams blunders, offensive line didn't have a good day. And then, most importantly, Nebraska had a third string walk-on quarterback under center. That's why Nebraska lost to Troy. So, okay, in reviewing that, is there anything you can pin on the past? Maybe some of the O-line stuff, just not being, you know, conditioned to over the course of I know Zach Duvall's done wonders, but, you know, getting your body to be at a certain level takes more than just, you know, 7 months. But man, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of it is third-string walk-on quarterback, and Nebraska was sloppy. And the sloppiness, at some point there has to be some accountability on Frost and the current staff. So, I said this yesterday. There has to be some middle ground between everything good that happens is because of Frost and everything the bad that happens is because of Riley and how things were. So, that's how I see this discussion. I think from a broad sense, like if we're having the discussion in a broad way, I think it's 100% it's ludicrous to think you can just erase a bad culture, a team that quit, went 4-8, didn't have to live. I think it's ludicrous to think that Frost is going to show up, flip the switch with his arrival, and all that goes away. I think that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, this was a locker room full of players that were broken mentally and physically not in shape. But at the same time, so people, the problem is though you go, 0-2, 2017 and that previous staff. The problem is when you make those comments and you try to get into specifics within the first two games, there isn't a whole lot I feel like you can unequivocally pin on the past as to why those two games got away from Nebraska. You know what I mean? Like, so that's where I struggle with it. It's a nuanced conversation. Yeah, I think anybody with half a brain understands that from a broad sense that when you show up, you're not going to just change everything overnight. It's not how it works. But then when you watch two games unfold and you get into the specifics as to why Nebraska lost, that's when I think it gets, that's when it gets challenging to me. On what you can concretely pin on, well, that, tell you what, that's because of the past. I don't know what that really is. But again, if you ask me, Nebraska lost Colorado game, two turnovers out the gate, spotted them 14 points, your two best offensive weapons dropped passes, and then I felt like Scott Frost kind of mismanaged fourth quarter. And then a lot of this last Saturday against Troy was, you know, shaky O-line play, the game was, it was sloppy, and Nebraska had a third-string walk-on quarterback out there. So, it's a very, people want to make these things black and white, and it's very nuanced. So that's kind of how I see it. My man Mitch Light joins us now. Mitch, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm great. How was Notre Dame? I mean, Vanderbilt played them tough. I mean, that had to been, I know the outcome wasn't good, but that would have been a thrilling one to see.
Yeah, great game. Like I think I told you guys last week, first trip up there, met all expectations. Just great scene. We got up there. I went the whole weekend with my son, did all, went to the pep rally they've got there. They got like a midnight drumline band thing, tailgating and stuff like that. The weather was great, and you know, it's a great stadium. So yeah, and the entertaining game. So definitely a really good weekend.
How good's Notre Dame?
I don't know. You know, people keep saying that's obviously a big storyline around here because, you know, well, but yeah, Vanderbilt played really well, but how good's Notre Dame? To like just watching the game, they're pretty good on defense, I think. They're limited on offense, I would say, because Brandon Wimbush is just not a consistent, you know, thrower of the football, which is a pretty important part of that position. I don't see them emerging as a college football playoff team. I think they're a legit top 20, top 15 team. And, you know, you can't ignore the Michigan win. You know, you can say, okay, they beat Ball State, they beat Vanderbilt, but they did beat Michigan. And we'll find out how good that win is. I still think Michigan's really good. So, like I said, you can't ignore that. Next few weeks, they go to Wake and they get Stanford at home. So, I think they're good. I don't necessarily think they're great.
Mitch, this is Corey. I'm taking over this interview now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, finally, professional.
Right,
dang it!
Right. But before we move off of Notre Dame, I listened to your podcast that you do with Braden Gall last night. Can you tell the abbreviated version of the story between you and the usher at Notre Dame Stadium?
Yes. Okay. I'll be very brief.
I'm intrigued.
I want to preface this by saying that 99.9% of the people at Notre Dame were great. I mean, they pride themselves on it. Welcome to Notre Dame. If you've ever been there, anybody listening, you know that. I get a pass to be on the sideline part of the radio team, and evidently part of my pass, I was supposed to have on a photo bib, like one of those green things, which no one ever told me. I ran across literally 15 or 20 usher/security people. No one ever said anything. In the fourth quarter, or in the third quarter, one guy decided to tell me that I needed to have this on. I told him, sir, I'm sorry. You know, no one ever told me. I'm just trying to do my job. He sent me up to the concourse to get it. And then basically once he sent me up there, another usher just said, don't worry about it. I went back down without it, was on the sideline. 3 minutes to go in the game as Vanderbilt's driving. He calls me over, asks me my name, my affiliation. He was going to report me to the authorities.
What?
And I'm like, dude, I'm never going to be here again. I'm just doing my job. He's like, who do you work with? I said, as I told you, I mean, I've got a Vanderbilt visor on, Vanderbilt hat, I mean, Vanderbilt shirt. Clear what I'm doing there. I'm holding a microphone. So this guy made, you know, other than that, my trip was great.
Wow. That's a...
Yeah. It was like Paul Bart. What was it, Paul Bart?
Mall cop? Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. All right. So
if you want the longer version,
there you go. Check out the pod.
Anger on my part, you can listen to our podcast.
Okay, people need to go check that out. Mitch Light, Athlon Sports, troublemaker extraordinaire
as
well.
I was going to tell my name was Lou Holtz, but I didn't know if that was
that'd have gotten you thrown in jail without question.
If I said Charlie Weiss, I probably would have got
that. Good point. Yeah, Charlie Weiss, you're getting a slammer right away. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. We never hear from you again. That's what it is. But I tell you what, how about LSU? It appears like I might end up being dead wrong. That's a great win at Auburn for them.
Yeah, it's a great win. No doubt about it. They've got two wins as good as anyone in the country. But I don't think we need to sit back and say, yeah, they're going to challenge Alabama now. I don't want to sound like I'm just trying to rain on their parade because the object of the sport is to win the game. But if you know, I didn't watch the game. It was on the same time the game I was at. But I talked to a lot of people who have watched it. I've read all about it. You know, sounds like, you know, and if you play that game under those scenarios with that box score, you know, 100 times, Auburn probably wins 75 times. But LSU won the time it mattered. And, you know, they made one big play in the passing game, a 75-yard touchdown, and they rallied to win against Auburn for the second straight time. So, they're definitely silencing their doubters. I think they have a chip on their shoulder as a program. I think Ed Orgeron has a chip on his shoulder. He knows he is doubted. So, great win. Doesn't get any easier. Their schedule is a monster. I don't think this is a legitimate threat to Alabama, but kudos to LSU.
How many, let's be honest with this.
Okay.
How many teams can honestly win the national championship? Five? And is that generous?
Yeah. That's what was your number?
Five. Clemson, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, clearly those five right now appear good enough. I'm not going to throw out Washington.
Okay.
I saw enough of them in a losing effort against Auburn that tells me they're a pretty good team, and they went on the road and they beat Utah. I like your number. I mean, from what we've seen on the field right now, they look like five teams have kind of separated themselves. But I think Washington, you know, could be good enough. I'm trying to think. I haven't, you know, who else? You know, Penn State, I would say
I don't think so. Right.
Stanford, you know, we haven't seen enough of Stanford yet. I don't, just from a personnel standpoint, I don't think they will be, but they've looked good so far. I'm glad that Georgia and Ohio State look as good as they have in Oklahoma. I don't want it to be just an Alabama and Clemson because we thought maybe before the season it was going to be those two and then a gap. But right now, you know, maybe Alabama and then a gap and then Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State because those other teams have looked fantastic as well.
Mitch, Texas blows out USC. Did that game say more about Texas or more about USC?
You know, I don't want to be unfair to Texas, but it might more about USC.
That was a really disappointing
performance from a coach who I think I said on the air last week. It's like one of those games I didn't really want to watch. I just want to know what happened, and I wouldn't want to be the coach to lose that game. And, you know, Clay Helton, you score 3 points at Stanford, you score 14 points at Texas and watch them score 37 in a row. I know you have a true freshman quarterback, but USC fans don't care about that. They've never really embraced him from the beginning. He has an athletic director that didn't hire him. So, you know, important win for Texas, but I think a more damaging loss for USC.
Yeah, totally agree. Mitch Light, Athlon Sports. And maybe this is just a product of maybe expectation level. Like, I'm not going to lie, I was watching that Ohio State-TCU game. I mean, I know Ohio State's good. I walked away being like, hey, TCU's, I was pretty impressed with TCU. I mean, they were right there.
Agree totally. I think, I mean, I picked Ohio State to cover. I think they didn't cover by half a point.
Yep.
I thought they'd blow them out. They didn't. TCU was really, really fast. I think I saw one of the Ohio State players on Twitter, or someone, it was on Twitter that one of the Ohio State players said it was the fastest team he's seen, and he didn't mean tempo. He meant like athletes. And so that's quite a statement coming from Ohio State. Their quarterback's growing up. You know, Sean Robinson is a good player. Darius Anderson, I know he had that one big play, but still ran the ball well. You go for over 500 yards. You average 6.6 yards per play against that Ohio State team. You're doing something right. So, you know, they played Texas this week. TCU, you know, right now on paper, you might want to say they're the second best team in the Big 12.
I'd hesitate to bring up the Big Ten, particularly the Big Ten West right now, because people might be eating lunch. But how about the weekend they had? I mean, oh my God, Mitch, that was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, really no way to sugarcoat it. You know, Northwestern, what's going on? I mean, 21-3 at the half. Thought they were going to be good after that win over Purdue, and they've done nothing since.
Nebraska loses, you know, to Troy, and we've been, I mean,
Illinois loses a 19-7 to lead in the fourth quarter. They give up 600 plus yards to USF. Just
Rutgers gets blown out by Kansas.
Oh, six turnovers.
I mean, unbelievable.
You know what? Not in addition to thank God for DePaul, thank God for Iowa, right, Corey? Thank God for Iowa, restoring order in the Big Ten West.
You just made him excited. Speaking of Iowa, let's get into I want to talk about that game this weekend because Wisconsin coming off a loss. BYU went to Camp Randall, and boy, I was I mean, BYU hung right there with them in the trenches and was just as physical. I was impressed with BYU's physicality. What do you, I mean, that,
most, yeah.
No, keep going. That game was that was impressive by BYU.
Yeah, one of the more improved teams in the country last year. BYU's brutal offensively last year. They averaged 6.8 yards per carry against Wisconsin. That's the highest single game average against the Badgers since that Big Ten championship game loss in 2014, the 59-0 loss. You know, if you would have gone in there and said someone's going to average about 7 yards per carry on the ground, obviously you would think it was Wisconsin. So I think that's a bad sign going forward for Wisconsin that they kind of got out Wisconsin. You know, and this BYU team, 2 weeks ago, they averaged 2.8 yards per carry at Cal. They rushed for 91 yards. So it's not like a team that's been steamrolling people. So, you know, I like Iowa in this game.
Oh,
obviously, they've played well at home. They're a slight underdog. You know, it's funny. I looked up the numbers. You know, Iowa has this reputation for being this physical running team. But, you know, in the last few years, they really have not run the ball that effectively. They haven't finished higher than eighth in the Big Ten in the last 3 years running the ball. They still committed to it, which is half the battle. You know, they average about 45 yards per attempt, but I expect them to try and win the game at the line of scrimmage against Wisconsin, which you probably before the season said that would not be the wisest plan of attack.
Doesn't it kind of feel like the winner of that game really takes control of the West, like big time, especially how things are looking?
Yeah, I mean, Northwestern looks bad right now. Purdue, you know, doesn't look good. They already have a home loss.
Yep.
You know, Nebraska's struggling. I wonder what the Vegas odds are. Seriously, like winner of this game winning the division,
right,
it's got to be huge.
Got to be astronomical. Be interesting. It's crazy to say that already, you know, basically first conference game for these two could shape the whole division, but that's kind of what we're looking at. Mitch Light, Athlon Sports, stop being such a troublemaker when you go on the road, Mitch. I mean, it's just typical Mitch Light stuff, you know?
I know. I leave a trail of destruction around the SEC, and then I went up to Big Ten country. So hopefully for the people up in Nebraska or Iowa that the Commodores won't be playing there anytime soon.
Yep, note to self, don't schedule Vandy. Obvious reasons. I love it. Thank you, Mitch.
Take care, guys.
So email here from Andy, and he says, maybe I'm alone here, but Tanner Farmer talks too much for being an average lineman at best. This is harsh, but he's coming off as a bit of a blowhard recently. Words are overrated. Go win a game. That's from Andy. And you know what, Andy? I'm not going to lie to you. There was a part of me that agrees with that. Tanner Farmer wasn't saying anything that wasn't spot on. You know what I mean? But sometimes you know, there also are times where who's delivering the message matters too. You know, like, you know, if a homeless guy might be sitting there giving you great stock market advice on how to double your portfolio, all that stuff, it's like, bro, you're homeless. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that's a harsh, Sean Kemp giving advice on like birth control or so. You know, it's like, I mean, I it's like there gets to a point where, you know, you can be saying the right things, but unless there is tangible stuff that backs that up in terms of results, sometimes that stuff's not going to land right. So I hate crushing kids that are, I mean, listen, it sounds like Tanner Farmer's bought in and trying to do the right thing, but there hits a point where, to me, I just like, go get it done, then talk. Like, that's a little bit where, I don't know. I mean, I just, if I played in a game and I felt like, I didn't do my job, I just don't know if I'd come out. I didn't do my job and we got beat and my specific group didn't maybe play well. I just don't know how eager I'd be to like wax poetic about a variety of topics.
And this would land a little bit different if it was a member of the secondary that said that.
Right. I mean,
but you all watched the game for four quarters on Saturday. What was one of the more underwhelming position groups in that game? Who's the offensive line?
Right.
Where does Tanner Farmer play? On the offensive line.
Yeah.
So it just, I'm with you. Like, you don't want to crush him because he is a college kid.
Yeah.
And he's saying the right things.
Totally.
But it's one of those things where, you know, I don't love hearing life advice from a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
It's the same deal with this. Like, you can say the right things, and this is the thing that bugged me yesterday, is that that's, when you say things like that and it doesn't show up during those four quarters on a Saturday, it's just talk.
Yeah.
It's just empty talk. Go out and do it.
Yeah. I'm just the type of guy. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, I read those. When I heard his comments and all that stuff, what he was saying was good, but there's a part of me that it didn't, I kind of rolled my eyes at it. To be honest, if I'm just being honest with you guys. I mean, I just think at this point, it's like, you need to go get it done in a game and then tell me about XYZ, you know? Go get it done in a game and then tell me about what buy-in's like and what, and how to be the number one rushing offense and all that stuff. But nevertheless, again, there are far bigger things to talk about or criticize than that. At 910 CK says, tweets at me and says, I believe the offense did enough to win last week. It was the defense, a lot of third and long failures, and the special teams, which didn't do enough to win. No doubt Martinez is a game changer, but you can't say the offense lost the game, this past game, even with the tight playbook. I mean, I 1000% disagree with that. I mean, think about it. The defense, if I told you before the game, the defense is going to give up 17 points. The defense is going to give up 17 points, hold Troy under 300 yards, and force one turnover. How many of you would sign up for that deal? Like, let's start with all of you. Let's start with every last one of you. Now, it's a team, and you win as a team, and you lose in a team, and it's not like where you're putting asterisks and like, no, Troy, defense won, offense lost. You know, it's everybody lost. But when you're delving out blame, I think there's far more blame on the offense than the defense. I mean, defense giving up 17 points and holding a team under 300 yards, like, you'll take that. You will take that 100 times out of 100. 100 times out of 100. Jake tweets at me and said, I'd listen to Trey Neal if he spoke out. Like, there's a guy that, to me, like, has a little bit of the resume and the credentials to potentially talk about what it takes to win at a high level or whatever. But at the end of the day, Tanner Farmer's trying to do the right thing. He's saying the right things. I'm just the type of guy that would rather, when you win, don't say much. And when you lose, say little. That's just me. 402-951-1620. Jeff's been waiting patiently. Jeff, I appreciate your patience. You fire away, brother.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, blaming the defense on that, I don't get that one at all.
No.
Anyway, just kind of my take on the last two games here. They've been it seems like last year there wasn't really a specific problem that was wrong with the team except for everything.
Right.
This year it seems like there's not really a specific problem. It's just like Scott Frost said, there's just little things that are adding up to big things, which in my point of view, that those little things can be fixed. And I do believe it depends on if Martinez is healthy or not. Nebraska, I think they can win a game that they're not supposed to win. And also, I think they can go. I mean, the stuff is there for them to win. It's just matter of them putting it together.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Real quick, Jeff, I said after the first game, a lot of these mistakes seem correctable, if that makes, you know what I mean? Right. I think that there's a difference between a mistake or an issue that isn't correctable and is correctable.
And did you happen to read the Sipple's article about how maybe with Frost's hire, it kind of overshadowed?
I did. Yep.
I think maybe that could be probably a problem too, but like I said, I do think there's a lot of good things going in our defense. I mean, holy cow, looking at how they're playing this year compared to last year, night and day difference. And it can only go up from here with this only Frost's first year as a coach here at Nebraska. I'm really happy to see what can go forward on that.
Yep. Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Jeff. I mean, I just think like if, I don't know. I think you know how it is in life. It's like it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's probably never as good as you think it is. Like things aren't as bad as you think they are right now. Again, the defense is way better. If Martinez would have been out, if Martinez plays, Nebraska beats Troy. I still subscribe to the school of thought, and some people can roll their eyes at this. That I think if the Akron game doesn't get canceled, I'm not so sure Nebraska isn't 3-0 right now. So if Stanley Morgan or J.D. Spielman catches the ball against Colorado, I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, like, I think things are never as bad as you think they are. Things are maybe never as good as you think they are. You know, I just, I absolutely think and that's why I started the show with it. If Martinez is back into the equation and healthy and good to go and all that, then I feel like this season can still do some pretty good things. Like I think if Martinez is back and healthy in the equation, I don't think 6 wins is out of the question. But need Martinez out there. Let's do it!
It's time to play Guess the Line!
All right, Broham Santana, it's pretty simple. It's Guess the Line. Corey gives me a couple NFL games, a couple college games. I got to guess the Vegas point spread, and if I'm within a point, I win the self-satisfaction of being within a point, which is, you know, you can't put a price on that. All right, Corey, when are you going to start in the National Football League? We start college?
I like starting in the NFL because the Lions aren't as interesting as college.
I'll say three.
You got it! Yeah. You got it!
I wonder how many times, if I just guessed -3 for the home team, how close I would be.
Oh, you'd be pretty damn close.
I probably would be.
Pretty darn close. So let's start in the National Football League.
NFL.
With the Thursday night showcase. I can't wait for this game.
Well, I don't know. What's Thursday night?
I can't wait. Jets at Browns.
That's Thursday night.
Guess the line. Prime time.
Browns, sneaky, played well 2 straight weeks here.
Sneaky.
Tied Pittsburgh. Went to New Orleans, had a heartbreaker. The Jets. Who'd they lose to last week?
They lost to Miami at home.
And this game's in Cleveland?
In Cleveland.
Jeez, I mean, I want to say like the Browns are it's hard to get yourself to like make the Browns like a. Are the Browns favored by like 4? I'll say 4.
Very close, but it counts. Browns by 3.5.
Okay. I'd take Cleveland, right?
I don't know, man.
I
can't get myself to do it.
Short week, rookie QB. I don't know.
Are we going to get our Mayfield game right Thursday night?
True that. No.
Tyrod or Tyrod Taylor not getting the job done?
Interesting.
Big game in the NFC South. Saints at Falcons. Guess the line.
Saints have. I don't know what to make of the Saints. Saints had a rocky start. Falcons rebounded, taking down Carolina. It's in Atlanta. I will say the Falcons are favored by 4.
You should have won with your gut. 3.
3. Huh?
-3.
Oh, they thinking New Orleans about to go do their thing, huh?
Bills at Vikings.
Oh, my God. Oh!
Bills at Vikings.
Wow. I mean, the Bills are... They're so bad.
They're one of the worst teams I've ever seen in this league.
They are horrendous.
Ever.
Think about Josh Allen going against that deep. It's at Minnesota, right?
It's in Minnesota.
Holy guacamole. I mean, that game's two... Is it 13.5? 13.5. By Minnesota, 13.5?
That's a miss. Minnesota by 16.5.
Wow.
Now, to put this into college terms, this would be like Bama being favored by like 38.
Yeah, this is
over
a like
over a slum bum team. Wow. 16.5 is an enormous number in the NFL.
I mean, again,
it's one of the biggest lines
so bad,
I've ever seen.
They have cornerbacks quit at halftime.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Last NFL game. Patriots.
Who they got?
They have to go to Detroit to face their old defensive coordinator,
Matt Patricia.
Let's call it Josh Gordon in the Patriots.
Look at you.
Visits the Lions. Guess the Lions.
I hope that's in the promo, you know, and they're like, coming up on Sunday, Josh Gordon in the New England
Josh Gordon.
Take on Amir Abdullah and Detroit.
They look to smoke the Detroit Lions.
Yes. Good golly, Miss Molly. Detroit lost again, right?
Indeed they did.
Who'd they lose to?
I don't remember.
I can't remember either.
Did they?
Thank you. They lost a close game to someone, I thought. A relatively close game. San Francisco. That's who they lost to. Right.
Jimmy G.
Yeah, Jimmy G and company. I will say the Patriots are favored by 6.
That's a hit. 6.5.
Yeah!
They let me down last week, but that's I'm just sneak preview. It's another one of my. I'm gonna bet on them again.
I like
the
I like
cover
your style.
In that 6.5.
I like your style.
They're doing it.
Corey.
They're doing it.
I like your style.
Let's move over to the college game.
The National College Game.
Let's start on. I think this is a Thursday night special in the Pac-12. Nope, Friday night special. 9:30 Central Time kick between Washington State. And USC, Washington State, sneaky, unbeaten team.
They beat USC last year, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. One of the crazier games you'll see. USC limping in at 1-2.
Very much so. My eyes tell me USC's not very good, but you give them the benefit of the doubt because they have USC uniforms on, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
But, man, they're not very good. Like, they look, I mean, because I don't think Texas is very good. And Texas blew their doors off after a slow start. But USC's favored, obviously. It's just, I mean, I don't know, USC by, like, 5.5? 5.5?
It's a miss. USC is favored by 3.5.
Wow.
At home.
Against Washington State. Ooh, I'm not touching that game.
You're Clay Helton, USC Trojans, everybody.
Yeah, me no like it. Me no like it. Me no like it.
Let's go to the Big Ten. Boston College, 3-0, number 23 in the nation, goes to West Lafayette to play 0-3 Purdue.
Okay, so Missouri was favored by about a touchdown, like 6 or 7 last week.
Right.
I feel like Boston College and Missouri are probably like similar in some ways. BC's maybe a little better. So I'll say Boston College is favored. Boston College by 5.5.
That's a hit, but narrowly. Boston College by 6.5.
But Purdue's got to win a game at some point here.
Oh, gosh, I have to add this one in. Oh, mama. All right, here we go.
All right.
11 a.m. kick. We know that Kugler always gets the best Big Ten game on the Big Ten Network every week.
Who is it?
Which means he is undoubtedly going to call Buffalo at Rutgers. Guess the line.
I have no idea what Buffalo is like. Yeah. I like slow clap. I like what you're doing. Rutgers is looking to rebound.
Right.
I'll say Rutgers by... I don't know how good Buffalo is. This is embarrassing. Mm,
I
don't
know.
Good?
I don't know, man. Are they?
They have a good quarterback, I think.
That's way too much Buffalo knowledge for my liking.
I thought I saw some list today that had, like, Buffalo. Might have been, Greg McElroy might have tweeted out his, like, top group of five quarterbacks. I thought,
guess the line!
All right, my bad. I will say Rutgers by five.
That is an enormous miss. Buffalo is favored by
what?
Five.
Is Buffalo good?
They're 3-0 in the MAC.
Keep going. If you
they're
more.
Favored by five on the road to a Big Ten team.
I mean, keep in mind,
You missed that game by 10 points.
Good. My bad, bro.
Buffalo by five. That's right.
Buffalo, according to Athlon, is the 89th best team in the country.
Well, there you go. There you go. Let's move to some more.
Rutgers is going
to
cover it. Give me a break. That would be my pick. Come on, Rutgers.
I don't know, man.
How dare you?
I don't know. You give up 50, give up the double nickel to Kansas.
You got to think about Devontae Graham and those boys. No,
yeah,
Gerald Vick.
Yeah, you do.
You
got
to think about like
Frank
and
Mason.
Anything. Think about little Gerald Vick and anything.
How about Stanford at Oregon? The college game day location. Saturday night football.
I have no sense on Oregon. Did Bryce Love not play?
Did not play.
What's up with that?
I don't know, man. He's had a slow start to this.
Yeah.
Supposedly shoo-in Heisman campaign.
But Stanford's favored. Stanford by 3.5.
It's a miss.
Uh-oh.
Stanford by two.
I'll take it. Self-satisfaction.
Let's do one more.
Give me the game of the week, Broham.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, give me that. I've been interested
Wisconsin
in this.
At Iowa.
I mean, a part of me would...
And Joel on the call. Latest game at Kinnick Stadium in Kinnick Stadium history.
What? Seriously?
7:30 kick.
Good for you, man.
What, you think they've had a game at 9?
You never know that. I will say... Bro, like, a part of me feels like, is Iowa favored? You got to think about perception, though. Iowa Knight? I'm going to say Iowa's favored by one.
It's a miss. Wisconsin's favored by 3.5.
Huh. I guess that makes sense.
It does.
I guess
it does.
Wow, okay. So there you go. That's guess the line. I got way too crunk.
Thank you for listening to today's Best of Game Time podcast. Hear Nick's entire past show on 1620thezone.com's Game Time podcast page and live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 1620 The Zone, the 1620 The Zone app, and 1620thezone.com.